CBS High on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Josh Rogan, Global Opinions for the Washington Post. Tunisia, you will recall, 2010, late 2010, a street vendor in Tunis self-immolated and died in protest about the harassment of the Tunisian authorities. That event led to the Arab Spring. His name was Mohamed Bouazizi. The Arab Spring was said to be an opening of the dialogue between the democracy forces, activists throughout the Arab world, and the long-standing tyrants who had held the presidency without challenge for decades. However, Josh, a very good evening to you. President Saeed of Tunisia has now declared himself the single voice of authority in Tunisia. It looks like a coup. It walks like a coup. Is it a coup? Good evening to you, Josh.
Well, good evening, John. Well, while we can't make a legal determination because the High Court of Tunisia actually doesn't exist, it hasn't even been seated, to most international observers, Tunisia watchers, and especially human rights and democracy advocates, this has all the makings of a coup in progress. And events are moving fast in the capital of Tunis. But what's clear is that the military is behind the president, and they've barred the parliamentary assembly from convening. And the parliamentary assembly has been insisting that all of this is unconstitutional and instituted a sit-in outside the parliament building. And meanwhile, lots of other coup signs are popping up, such as Tunisian police raided Al Jazeera, a news organization affiliated with the government of Qatar. And the Ennahda Party, which is the main moderate Islamist party, they hold a plurality in the assembly, their offices were raided by looters, by pro-president looters. So you have a situation very similar to what you saw in Egypt in 2013, frankly, is that you have a strong man declaring himself omnipotent and promising to restore order once he's had his way. And that has very scary implications for the international community, despite the fact that it seems like a lot of people on the ground in Tunisia actually are welcoming the move. So that puts the Biden administration in a real bind. You know, on the one hand, they don't know which way this is going to come out. And, you know, Joe Biden, as vice president, was very involved in advocating for the preservation of Tunisian democratic institutions. And he knows this issue. Yet right now, his administration seems asleep at the wheel. And so you have a lot of human rights activists shouting at the Biden administration that they should get involved and get involved fast. But it's not exactly clear what they're going to do, if anything. And if they did do something, would it really have the result they want?
A State Department spokesman issued this statement. The United States will continue to stand on the side of Tunisia's democracy. Okay, let's grow the story. Next door to Tunisia is Libya. Next door to Libya, well, moving a little further east, is Egypt. What we have here is the question of governance on the whole of North African coast. Is the administration looking at it regionally as opposed to capital to capital?
You know, right now it seems that they have no strategy and no plan for either the current crisis in Tunisia or the North Africa region writ large. And I say that because what you have is a lot of people who were there in the Obama administration when the Arab Spring began, and they were pushed, frankly, by some people on the more hawkish side of that administration to get very involved in Egypt and to launch an intervention into Libya. And they're scorned by that experience. And frankly, there's a predisposition to inaction amongst the Biden staff. And, you know, if they even in Libya and in Egypt, they've failed to really advance what, you know, Joe Biden, when he was a vice president, would have called American values in the grand struggle between democracies and autocracy. There's a lot of rhetoric about that in the Biden administration, but not a lot of action. So, you know, I don't see any signs really that they're planning to get involved one way or the other.
Who is watching, Josh, as to what the U.S. does or does not do, even what the White House says? Who benefits from this? The famous question lawyers ask.
Right. Well, it seems clear that Turkey and Qatar are among those countries that have supported the moderate Islamist parties inside of Tunisia, and therefore are most opposed to this power grab. And now on the side of the power grab, you could guess that Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Egypt are would support the coup. And if there's a vacuum in American and Western leadership, they'll surely move in to make sure the coup happens if they haven't done that already. They're simply less interested in seeing democracy flourish up in the Arab world because it threatens their own dictatorial holds on power, and because you know, they have a genuine sort of a policy against all Islamist parties, which is how we got into this mess in the first place. So what you see is sort of the tyrants, the dictatorships, coalescing together to support the Haftar, the war criminal warlord who's attacking Tripoli, and to support the consolidation of power in Tunisia as well. And you know, if they get their way, that will be sort of the nail in the coffin of the Arab Spring, which is not dead, but pretty much on life support at this moment.
Josh, this is the Libyan intervention all these years later. That's what this is. How can Tunisia function as a transparent society, democracy, with the darkness visible that is Libya? We don't know what's going on there, but that's been the source of human trafficking as well as war crimes, Al-Qaeda, ISIS. For the last 10 years, it's been an experiment by the devil. And Tunisia's right next door. So you could say irony says it's the opportunity for Mr. Biden to finish the work that his administration started in 2011.
Right. In other words, the Obama administration intervened in Libya and then left and didn't follow up and didn't give that country the support it needed to transition from 5 decades of Gaddafi's dictatorship to a functioning civil society, much less a functioning democracy. And we always do that. We always preach democracy, but we never give people the tools to really maintain it. And, you know, it's amazing that Tunisia survived this long, considering the economic struggles. They're getting hit by COVID. They're in a tough neighborhood, and we don't really do much for them at all. So, you know, I think that, you know, if you ask most Americans, they'll say, well, that's over there, not over here. And maybe America just shouldn't be in the nation building business. And maybe these countries aren't meant to be democracies. But what I say is, you know, there's most people in Tunisia and the political class want their democracy. They just don't think it was functioning for them. They don't think it was working. The reason they support the president's moves is because they believe he's going to return them to democracy in 30 days time and a more functioning democracy at that. But that's not the pattern that we see in history. Usually when power gets concentrated into an executive, it stays there. You know, very few executives who assume power and take autocratic steps give them back. It almost never, ever, ever happens. So I think we need to make our voices known now and, you know, actually shape this crisis rather than stand back and watch it unfold, because we do have an interest there. As you mentioned, it's not just about Tunisia. It's about the whole region. And it's about whether or not the administration's rhetoric in support of democracies means anything, whether or not they're willing to put their money where their mouth is.
We have about a minute, Josh, less than a minute. What are you watching for next? What would be a sign that it's going one way or another?
God forbid the violence increases, but what eventually we're going to see is we're going to see the international community call on the president to return to a normal way of doing business. And at that point, he will either do that or he will enforce his rule through increased violence. That will happen within the next 30 days. That's our window. We have 30 days to convince, as the international community, President Saeed, that doing that is not in his interest, that actually there is a better path that includes making nice with the opposition, especially the parties that he just kicked out of Congress. If not, I think that violence will be met by violence, and then Tunisia could spiral downwards into a very scary situation. And I think that's another reason that we have to do our best to get involved and, you know, listen to the Tunisian people, but also stand up for the things that we believe in.
Josh Rogan, Washington Post, Global Opinions, CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.